All I wanna do is watch football. All I wanna do is watch football. We fell down, we fell broke, like we ain't got a hope. Like the times when you're down to 10. What can you do when they're coming at you? You gotta take it back to them.
Done what we should for. Okay. So hi and welcome to this third session of the unofficial Don's Trust board election candidate hustings facilitated by Same Old Wombles podcast. This session will be hosted by my co-host Joe Blair and me, Ben Reynolds, to give you a bit of information about myself. I've been supporting Wimbledon since the 1980s, been going to games pretty regularly between then and now, and even tried out for AFC back in 2002. It wasn't taken on because, frankly, I'm not that good at football. Joe, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, just briefly. Joe Blair, been a supporter similarly since the 1980s, and a Don's Trust member, and I sit in the middle of the West Stand on match days.
Fantastic. Okay, so this year, 13 candidates are standing for election to the Don's Trust board. They are James McDonald, Daniel Allwright, Richard Shepherd, Mark Lewis, Joshua Perrin, Adam Proctor, Julian Earhart, Mike Hasty, Colin Shergold, Chris Phillips, Kevin Rye, Graham Price and Matt Lowndes. All candidates have been invited to join in one of these sessions, but the following candidates have informed us that they will not be attending or are unable to attend. They are Mike Hasty and Daniel Allwright. All candidates' manifestos are available on the Don's Trust website, and you can find that at thedonstrust.org/elections/2022-election. You can also pose questions to the candidates in your own time via the Don's Trust Pro Board's message board. And you can find that at donstrust.boards.net. The format of this session will be roundtable, with Joe asking an initial question, each candidate in turn responding, and then some time for a follow-up discussion on each question. There'll be four questions in total, and at the end of the session, each candidate will have a two-minute slot to make closing statements. In the interests of consistency and fairness across the three sessions, each candidate will be asked to endeavour to spend up to 2 minutes maximum on their answers to each of the questions, so as to allow all the candidates broadly the same amount of time to speak, and also so we can have some follow-up time for a discussion between the candidates before moving on to the next question. So I hope all that is clear, but before we get stuck into the questions, let's have some introductions from the candidates. So, James, if you could go first, would you mind introducing yourself and providing a little bit of information about your background? If you could do that, that would be fantastic.
Yes, thank you. I'm James McDonald. Come from a long legacy of Don's fans. My father started going in 1947, my grandfather in 1937, and myself in 1978. Behind me actually is a seat from the South Stand that was rescued just before it was knocked down. Probably ought to give that to the museum, but I quite like having that in my study. My main role is that I'm the Chief Operating Officer for a multi-academy trust based in Nottingham, and oversee a whole range of disciplines: IT, property and estates, HR, finance and data. We're a trust that used to be two schools, we've now grown to six, so I'm used to an expanding organisation. And I'm standing because I think I've got a lot of skills that are relevant to the board, and as a fan, I love the club and I want to help the club, and I believe I'm well placed to do that. Thank you.
That's great. Thanks very much, James. Graham, would you mind introducing yourself?
Yeah, hi there. as I said, still croaky from yesterday. I'm Graham Price. I've been going to Wimbledon for quite some time now. It's really quite frightening how time marches on. I've already been involved with the club. I was co-opted onto the board when people stood down earlier in the year. I've also been involved with the finance committee, launch of the Player Lane Bond, both one and two, and the We Are Wimbledon Fund. I would actually reiterate some of what James had said, because certain skill sets are useful to the board at certain particular times in the period of the club's growth and are required. And I believe I have those. As I set out, it's the culture, mission and sort of governance oversight along with finance piece that falls into my area. In my professional life, I am the executive chair of a wealth management business. So something of a role of oversight as well. It's very similar to James, as IT, HR, that go through all the usual bits. I'm also the founder trustee for a financial charity and also the chair of a not-for-profit organisation.
Good stuff, Graham. And lastly, Josh.
Yeah, hi, Josh Perrin. I've been going to Wimbledon since 2002 when I had a season ticket with my mum and granddad. Had a bit of time out until I started going back again in about 2009. In my role, my day job, I'm a business performance reporting analyst, which is mainly doing with performance reporting, KPIs, data analysis, etc. Been doing that for 4 or 5 years now. And I think really my skill set and my useful aspects would be quite beneficial to the board, and it would bring a nice freshness and some different ideas. And I think that is something that the board needs, because I think they've been trying to co-opt a younger person onto the board for a couple of years now. So that's somewhere where hopefully I can help.
Okay, thanks very much. So those are the introductions. Joe, can we get cracking with question one?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, everybody. So question one is, why are you standing? And if elected at the end of your term, what would you expect to be able to highlight as specific achievements you'd help the board deliver? And how will your personal and or professional experience help you to deliver? And can we go with Joshua first on that one. Josh.
Yeah, sure. So I'm standing, as I just kind of said, because I think a younger, fresh aspect needed on the board. And also I think my skill set as a data analyst and a performance analyst is something that should be able to help, especially with looking at our membership and finding out, gaining answers from all the data that we hold, whether that be equality and diversity data, whether that's membership data, season tickets, etc., that sort of thing. Also sort of performance reporting wise, I think that's something that we can learn as a board. It's a great way of communicating with members. It's making something clear and concise and easy to understand, which at the moment it's not really. Okay. Sorry, I'm in a beer garden on my home. They just told me that it's shutting at 7:30, so I'll have to move inside in a sec. But I think for sort of reporting wise, it's clearer and more concise, and I think from what I've done recently in a transformation project, it's looking at what stakeholders, that would be the members, want and how they want to see it. And it's going through a whole process and giving them what they want to see, because everyone says we need better communications, etc. But it's not just telling people stuff, it's actually what you tell them, and it has to have some quality to it. And I think in my personal experience as well, I think just being a younger body, that means that maybe younger fans feel more comfortable coming to speak to me and giving ideas, because that's the sort of thing. I know that personally, that would make me feel more comfortable. Not that I don't like to go up to people on the board at the moment, I still do, but it's just because there are youngsters, people at the age of 16 can vote. So we need to be able to tap into them and get their views, really.
Great. Thanks, Josh. Let's go with the same question to James McDonald.
Thank you. Well, it's not in my manifesto, but, you know, just to be something about a specific achievement. I mean, I think it's probably came as a bit of a surprise to see that there were no females standing for the board. And I think there's a big piece of work around inclusivity and diversity in the Don's Trust about why that's happened. I've got some suggestions, but I was recently at a COO Midlands conference for people in a similar role to me, and there were 24 of us there in Burton, of all places, and 23 were women. So I was the only man, and I think it's quite shocking that there are no women standing. So, as I said, it's not my manifesto, but that is something that I would definitely want to get on and understand why that is the case. I've got some suggestions as to why that is the case, and they're not particularly pleasant ones, to be honest, and something to learn from. Another specific achievement, number one in my manifesto, we remain fan-owned. That to me is absolutely crucial. I still remember back in 2000 listening to Radio 1, Mark Chapman was doing the sporting update and said, Fans Club Wimbledon will be everybody's second favourite team. And there's a reason for that, because we are fan-owned and that makes us unique. Some of the other things that I'd like to see, I think I'd like to give a lot of credit to the board that are in place at the moment. I think some of the improvements around communications, like the monthly update, the finance update that came out recently, the stuff that Roger's been doing around the training ground, this is all fantastic and all ought to be carried forward. I'm not coming in here with a broom looking to sweep out. I actually think there's a lot of really good stuff in place. But as I said in my introduction, I've been part of a growing trust. I think we need to look, and I would want to, you know, discuss with the board about whether we do need someone in a permanent, maybe not full-time, but part-time HR role. I think young footballers are particularly vulnerable, and I think that's really, really important. And the last thing I'd like to see is more work around what I did back in the late 80s, which was a Junior Don Committee, which also had a representative on the Don's Trust board. Now, I know there's a Junior Don sort of committee, but I don't think it reports that clearly into the board. So I'd like to see some more work around our younger supporters and getting them a skill set ready to come onto the board.
Great. Thanks very much, James. Now, Graham Price.
He's on mute.
Yeah, take yourself off mute, Graham.
Sorry, I was having fun and games with my laptop there. I used in my manifesto the phrase borrowed from Mastermind. I've started, I'd like to have a chance to finish. I think some of that carries on from what James has just said. There's a lot of good work has been started by the existing board, but I would use the phrase just started. I think quite advisedly, because we haven't completed our review of governance. I think there's further to go in that area. We do need to bed in, and obviously we've still got to vote on what is being put forward for consultation at the moment. So I'd like to try and move that further forward. Personally, I'm in favour of looking at aligning things. So you'll have seen the paperwork around NEDs for PLC. I personally think that future candidates should be serving a three-year term, so they can actually do something. And that would give people the choice of either doing a single term or serving two terms, and thereafter, then you can look at annually or whatever, just as any standard corporate governance would have it. Like James, I do find it somewhat disturbing that no female candidates are standing. That's not healthy at all. We should spend some time looking at that. One of the things I would say to that is I would hope that the working groups would allow for a far wider spread of co-option and as a starting point for potential future candidates to stand and to become members of the board. So it may be that the seeds of growth in that area have already been sown, and it's just we need to nurture them a bit. I would also want to ensure that as a club, we understand what the transition we're going through is about. And that means the PLC is the operating oversight board, and that the trust is the board responsible for culture, our, you know, what our mission is, what the strategy should be, and that it's quite clear so that there can be no confusion amongst our fan base, because there has been confusion in the past. And I think we can move further away from that and gain greater clarity. And finally, I'd want to finish the conversation about what we're comfortable with regards to share ownership. And I think we should effectively provide a framework. I was going to say kill it off, but that's not the right phrase. We should provide a framework so that there's a degree of consensus and that we're all comfortable with, and that we can return to it effectively when we need to. But also, it should be, in my mind, a case of an emergency break glass rather than having a conversation about it every 10 minutes. Because many of you will know, I'm strongly in favour of fan ownership. And that's pretty much it. So wide headings rather than specifics.
Yeah. Okay, thanks, Graham. So, thanks for the answers from the candidates there. Before we move on to the next question, I just wanted to pause and see if anybody wanted to, you know, seek clarification on anything one of the other candidates has said, or pick up any points said by another candidate.
No, not really. I think I was going to mention a different answer. I mean, I'm 100% of the view that 2 years is just a ridiculously short time to be on the board, because it's going to take time to get, well, just to know everybody, to be quite honest. And then you're off. And I just think it's madness. Now, in Nottinghamshire, I chair Schools Forum, and the length of service is 4 years, maximum 2 terms. So I'd agree with Graham, it should be longer than 2. I actually would propose 4 years, because I think that's enough time to get your feet under the table, to do something. And if you want to stand again, you've got something meaningful to show at the end of it. I think 2 years is really an unhealthy period of time. And I also think people get election bored.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, James. That was James McDonald there. Josh, anything you'd like to pick up on or comment on?
Not particularly, no. I'm all good.
Okay. Thanks very much. In which case, we will move on to question 2, which is, what do you see as the 3 immediate challenges for the club over your prospective term on the board? And what specifically do you suggest the board should be doing to meet those challenges? How would Wimbledon supporters be able to judge that those challenges had been met? And for that one, let's go with Graham Price first, please.
Thank you. You can almost separate these out, because we've said club. There's a difference between what the challenges are for us as an operating organisation, i.e. what sits with the PLC, and then what sits with the Don's Trust. If we start, the obvious one is from an operational point of view, and that's where we've got to balance things out. So we've got to somehow create a competitive playing budget that's increasing, whilst at the same time managing the debt repayment cycle, because that'll drive everything else. And we've got a new MD who I'm sure is fully focused on this, so I don't really need to cover that off. But the numbers for those goals are easy to follow. One of the things we could do, we can't always tell, for example, what a competitive playing budget is until after the event, but I think it would be entirely reasonable to publish a percentage increase in the playing budget figure for each season to give people a feel for whether we're making progress or not. In simple terms, if inflation's 10% and the playing budget's only going up at 3%, then we're falling backwards. If inflation's 5 and the budget's going up at 10, then we're moving forwards. And then, of course, you've got your relative markers for everybody else, but we can't do anything about other clubs. We can only affect what we have control of, and that's our own budget. I think from a Don's Trust point of view, we need to be ensuring we're all on the same page, understand who is responsible for what, whilst allowing some time for the new operating model to bed in. We've had a huge period of change. We haven't even finished yet, because obviously we've still got the head of football operations piece to sort out, but recognising that our governance structure, our organisational structure was not fit for purpose for the size of club that we've become, almost victims of our own success. We've just moved into a new phase, and it'll need time to come to fruition. And last but not least, become a growing, sustainable, fan-owned club. That's pretty much the three things that need to be looked at in my mind.
Okay, thanks, Graham. Let's go with James McDonald for the answer to question two, please.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of, a bit like Graham, took this, the question really referred to the board more to the club. I mean, obviously, you know, specific achievements, we want promotion and everything like that. But I think we can only set the culture around that. I don't think we can deliver on the pitch. Couple of things I'd like to bring out. I'm very keen that one of the challenges we face is that people see the Donors Trust board as responsible for everything when we are actually trustees. We are guardians. We are here to protect the club and act in its best interests. We're not here to decide the price of a pint of beer or kickoff time against Grimsby. My motto on this is very clear. We are fan owned, but not fan run. I think there's a lot of work to do, and we'll never convince everybody, but I think that that's a real challenge for the board, that people understand where the oversight is and what our role is. There's obviously a lot around finance, because we have the loan, we have a home in Southwest London in one of the most expensive areas of the country. It's difficult to attract players on certain wages. I totally agree that we should be publishing the increase in playing budget, even if we're not actually publishing what that figure actually is. And I think the other thing, and I was very proud in a way to see so many of our coaches go to, you know, Swansea and other clubs. That is fantastic. But investment in the academy is absolutely vital. The Wimbledon that I grew up with was full of, you know, players that had come through the ranks or players that we had taken from other clubs and then sold for great profit and went on some great success. I think the academy model is absolutely vital, and the board needs to make sure it invests appropriately in that alongside the first team so that we have a sustainable club going forward.
Sorry, just took myself off mute there. So, yeah, thanks for that answer, James McDonald. And now, Josh Perrin, would you like to answer question two?
Yeah, I think really if I was to separate out into three quick points, I think there would be, as I'd echo Graham and James, I think we need to separate what is operational club matters and what are Don's Trust board matters. I think there needs to be a clear divide. The board, maybe necessarily in the past few years, have got their hands into things which they shouldn't have, but they have been necessary. But really, that's why we're looking at the governance structure. Should they be, and what do we need to do to change that? I think we also need to unite the fan base, I think, because there's been a lot of unrest at the moment, I'd say, and that's a big challenge for us as an oversight board and a culture board to try and look at and see how we can do that. And I think final point is around sort of outside investment, as I'd call it, or versus fan ownership. And I think calling it a versus battle is incorrect, because that's not what it is. And we need to be clear in communicating to fans that we are working on something at the moment. We can still sell, I think it's another 4% or something like that. And it's not purely, we're only going to be fan ownership, we're only going to rely on this money, or we want to sell 100% of the club. And it's making sure that we tell people this and they understand that it's not just a pure versus battle. And I think it's making sure we tell people that properly, and that if we're doing something, then we tell the members that this is what we're doing. And if we can, and if we can't tell them, then we tell them this is why we can't tell you, because there's nothing worse than being left in the dark and not thinking nothing's going on when behind the scenes, there's loads of stuff going on. And then that just leads to more frustration with everyone. So, yeah, that's the three.
Okay, great. Thanks, Josh. And as before, instead of just racing straight on to question three, just wanted to pause there and see if anybody wanted to follow up points made by any of the other candidates.
Yeah, just coming back to the point that Josh made there, because it is a very valid point. It's not an either or. There are members of the board that have spent a lot of time over the last 4 years trying to attract additional investment into the club for people to take on the remaining equity that we have available within the current format. That's not an easy task. The idea that there's some magical queue of people waiting to buy chunks of equity, just totally incorrect. And they've anybody who's buying into the club has got to realise that overall it'll be fan-owned. And therefore, the type of equity they're buying is different to standard commercial equity. It's more a case of stewardship. And that presents its own challenges.
Sure. Thank you, Graham. Just again, quick pause before we move on. See if there's any follow-up on that. Otherwise, we'll go on to the next question.
Question three. Okay, so question
three is longer term. What do you see as the strategic role of the Don's Trust board, and what would you like to see it focus on? Aside from any of the priorities and challenges that we've already discussed, are there any specific things you think the board should or shouldn't be doing? And let's go with Josh. Joshua Perrin on that one first, please.
Yes, so I think one thing longer term we need to do is really sort of focus on trying to grow our membership and also making our membership actually sort of value for, not necessarily value for money, but value for a membership. Because I think at the moment, as I've said, with the sort of the disagreements that's going on within the fan base, it's what's the point in becoming a Don's Trust member? What does it get me? It gets me a vote for elections, and that's it. And it needs to be sort of working on something that gives you more for that, to grow our membership levels, and then that ultimately trying to become more successful. And I think it's also really, if you look at this, things like looking around the ground, there's nothing to sort of show our story as the Don's Trust, really, because I think we can tap into that a lot more and promote our story as owners, because looking at Wrexham, they're making a lot of money from selling a documentary about them, and I think we've got an arguably better story. So, and that's free money in essence. So I think longer term, those are the two sort of main objectives, apart from the challenges which I've mentioned before, but I think we should be focusing on.
Okay, thanks, Josh. So let's have the same question, question three, to James McDonald, please.
Thank you. I don't want to repeat old ground, but I think it's really important that the Don's Trust board is there, and is there to set the culture and the ethos of the club. It is there to hold the leaders of the club, the MD, the head of football operation, not the first team manager, to account. I've been in a position of headship. I know how lonely it is at the top. I think we have a wide range of skills to be able to be good sounding boards for ideas. The club is growing. I mean, you know, we were at King's Meadow with 4,600. We're now at Plough Lane with just over 9,000. There are opportunities there, but there's also the need, I think, to make sure we've got the right people in place before we run, before we walk, I think. So, the role of club employees is really important as we begin to scale up. The governance review is really, really important, and it needs to bed down. We need to see that through. The other thing I'd like to see, and I mentioned it at the very start, I think we need to not focus more on the women's team per se, but we need to really take advantage of what's happened at the Women's Euros and drive up levels of participation amongst young, or all females really, but especially young females in the club. I think that'd be welcomed by all Don's Trust members, and it would be a really, really good thing to do. And then, as I've also said, one of the things is that lots of things are actually getting in place or are in place. And although the question is long term, some of those will need to be reviewed and refined, but some of them will just need to be continued. And we need to make sure that we're not constantly changing. Change is good. Leaders like change. But at the same time, you need to give change a chance to bed down and start working effectively and amend until it does start. It is working effectively. Thank you.
Yes, thanks, James. And again, the same question to Graham Price, please.
I'm going to sound very similar. I'll just say basically the Don's Trust Board's role has to be one of wider oversight with responsibility for setting the strategy and culture of the club. And this must be done via a consultative framework. And that framework needs to work in a wider manner so that we speak with all stakeholders, because if you are a season ticket holder, you're a stakeholder in the club. You might not be a Don's Trust member, and whilst I'm sure all of us would encourage season ticket holders to become Don's Trust members, they are still an important part of the club. So we could do better in that area, I've got no doubt. I would like to see those season ticket holders automatically have membership, which with the integrated ticket system from next season, I believe will be possible.
Okay, thanks, Graham. There may be a bit more of an opportunity to elaborate on some of that stuff in the next question as well. But before we dive into that one, again, just wanted to pause and see if there's any kind of follow-up points or questions any of the candidates have in response to things that have been said in answer to that question.
No, I mean, I would fully support that if you buy a season ticket, it comes with Don's Trust membership. I mean, because you, by definition, you're a stakeholder in the club. I did think from Michelle there was some slight issue around VAT and there was something that we couldn't quite do, but I don't know where that's been sorted, Graham. You might know more than me on that one.
Something of a circular discussion.
But, okay, leave it then.
It's one that I'm aware of having been around for a while. Josh, either in relation to that point or just anything else on answers to that question, you got any further comments or questions?
Nope, not particularly.
Okay, great. Thanks, guys. In which case, let's move on to the next question. So question four is, do you think deeper and or wider supporter engagement with the trust is required? If so, what specifically would you do to drive that? And how would supporters be able to judge that that had been a success? And let's go with Joshua for the first one to answer that question, please.
Yes, so I think definitely supporter engagement is crucial. It's there are members, there are fans. It's 100% crucial. I think it's not necessarily just engaging with them and telling them rubbish. It's actually, like I said before, it's the quality of what we're telling people. I see that there's always people chasing to read minutes for previous meetings at out, and I think I'd sort of want to, I don't know if it's possible, but I'd argue it should be, bring in a sort of an action tracker, because I think that's all people want to know from board meetings, what's going on, who's doing what, and what's happening with that. And I think that can and should be so much easier to update, because board members update it before a board meeting, and then that cuts off half your meeting as well, because you're not talking about updates, people can read them before. And then it can go out straight afterwards. And it also gives clear lines of responsibility and accountability for who's doing what and why it hasn't happened. Because people say, I'm going to say X in my manifesto and I'm going to do Y. And then they're saying, but how do we know what they're doing? And how can we see if they're doing that? And I think that should, hopefully, if it's able to be done, and it should be easily done, should help with support engagement and keep fans updated. And I think also, it's sometimes we can't tell fans or members exactly what we're doing, but it's the fact that we need to tell them we are doing something and we can't tell you because X and Y. Or it's just because, as I said before, if people are kept in the dark completely, then it leads to frustration. It leads to people saying they're not doing anything when they really are. And then we go around in circles. I think that's something we really want to avoid, because that's been happening probably way too much over the last few years.
Okay, thanks, Josh. Graham, can you pick this thread up and speak next?
Yeah, this is not my area of expertise, and in fact, some of the other people who are standing for election operate in the area of communication and supporter engagement on a professional capacity. So no doubt they can give far better example of how we could do better. However, it's clearly something we speak about every time, so it's at the forefront of our collective thoughts that we need to do something else. We can communicate in a whole set of ways. So I talked about consultative framework, and you know, we now have the monthly letter coming out from the DTB. The point that Josh just raised there about an action tracker, the board has already started to use that. The idea is for that to flow into the working groups and should, if not be able to be published in full, at least be used within the notes for the monthly missive coming out from the DTB. I think the focus on minutes is a red herring, because I think everybody just needs to realise they will be heavily redacted on a fairly regular basis. All HR issues, as anybody who's sat on a board knows, is not going to be in the minutes. And anything that's commercially sensitive clearly can't be in the minutes either. And for certain meetings, that probably removes about two-thirds of the information. Josh mentioned about using the data. I think we could have some KPIs that fans can look at rather than individual KPIs for people's roles. One of my pet bugbears is, if we're one club indivisible, why have we got more than one website? You want one journal of truth and you want to drive all your traffic towards it. I would like to see the websites amalgamated, and I cannot stand the horrible templated website we have from the EFL, and I'd scrap it as soon as I could. But anyway, maybe that's just me. And just finally, the reason I say about one site, so everybody gets to see the information. For example, I never buy a program. So all of my content I consume digitally. So putting an article in the program, and then if it's a key article, not reproducing it on a website is not very helpful for people like myself. And there's rather a lot of us these days who tend to consume information in the digital format.
Thank you, Graham. And James, obviously, can I get you to answer as well?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a couple of things to say. I think in recent times, although this is, you know, a recurring question, I think, you know, there's been monthly drop-ins with Don's Trust members, albeit, you know, over Zoom. I think they've been really effective. There's the Don's Trust Hut, or whatever you want to call it, by the South Stand, which is staffed on match days for people to talk to board members. There are drop-ins at the Phoenix for people to talk. There's the monthly letter, monthly email, whatever you want to call it. And I do feel sometimes that people want to know stuff because they want to know it, but actually it is commercially sensitive, whether it be numbers or HR issues, and it isn't going to be shared. And that sort of perception that we're holding back stuff because there's something really bad in the background is wrong, to be quite honest. So I think there's a huge amount of good in what is being provided at the moment. I'm also of the opinion that the Don's Trust website is not the most user-friendly, nor is the club one. I think there's a piece of work to be done there. I don't think we should be going to different websites for stuff that is related to our club. I think it should all be in one place. Graham is absolutely right on that. I also think the annual report, the set of accounts, I know they're PLC, but I think they should be sent to all Don's Trust members, because ultimately the PLC is owned by the Don's Trust. I think that's something that needs to happen. I don't think it'd improve engagement. I just think it would show, you know, the situation and be transparent. But in general, I think this question's moved on in the last 2-3 years. I think the communication people are offered, whether they access it or not, is top notch. And whilst I'm not an expert in communications, I do think there are a number of ways, a number of forums, meetings, etc., that people can speak direct to a Don's Trust board member.
Okay, Thanks, James. James McDonald there. And again, before we kind of move off this and on to kind of closing remarks and statements, just if there's any follow-up or points that any of the candidates want to clarify on that question, feel free to do so.
Can I just add to James's comment about the accounts? I know that the Finance Committee have had a look at the narrative that is produced around the accounts for other clubs, using the examples of Plymouth and Exeter, where they bring the accounts to life, they tell people what it means. We could do a lot of that. So yeah, we can borrow best practice from elsewhere. But I would hope to see that this time round for the accounts.
And Josh, anything you'd like to add?
Not just echoing both what James and Graham have just said there.
Agree. Great. Okay, good. Well, thanks, guys, for joining this. Obviously, what we wanted to do is just give you a chance to make some closing remarks. I'd like to ask each of you in turn to speak for up to 2 minutes, just, you know, summarizing your views, you know, why you think you'd be a good candidate, you know, why members of the trust should vote for you. So please try to keep it 2 minutes. And let's go with James McDonald first, please.
Right. Thank you. And can I just thank Joe and Ben for hosting on a Sunday night? Much appreciated to give people the opportunity. I'm a fan. I want to remain fan owned, and I want to help the club as best I can to achieve its ambitions of rising up through the league. I think I'm well placed to do this. I'm part of a multi-academy trust. We started at one school, we went to two, we're now at six, and in the next 18 months we may be going up to 12. So I understand growth, I understand the challenges that change brings. I also understand a number of operational areas, including finance, data, IT. So we brought in new management information systems and had a proper plan, dare I say, to do it, and HR. So I think I've got a lot of experience that would be very useful in this role. I also recognise the fact that very few women are represented, both at Don's Trust membership levels, and embarrassingly, no female is standing to be on the board. So I think there's big pieces of work for us to do around inclusivity and diversity, that coming from a school background is something that we do a lot of work on anyway, because it is so important. I really, really value the work that volunteers do. I think it's one of the DNAs of the club. I would like to have a permanent volunteer liaison person in place. I think that would help with communication and also recognise the standing that volunteers have in this club. I want to be a responsible employer. I also want, most of all, though, for the Don's Trust Board, its work to be understood, its limits to what it can do. It can't avoid a 2-0 loss, sack the board, and a 2-0 defeat. We all get another 5 years. I do think stability is important in that, and I think the support and challenge that I can provide for my professional role and my experiences. I'm not there to question every decision. I'm not there to criticise every decision. I'm there to help the club that I love. Thank you.
Thank you, James McDonald. Graham Price, can I get you to go next, please?
We're at a critical point in our journey. We need to ensure that every decision we make drives us towards being financially sustainable business, as I believe that's the best defence within our current structure of guaranteeing the continued fan ownership of the club. In order to do this, it's quite straightforward what we need to focus on in my mind. We need to create a framework to repay the Plough Lane bond loans as they fall due. We need to increase our matchday revenues by improving the matchday experience as well, which definitely falls under the remit of the Don's Trust. We need to grow our 365 outside of match day act commercial activities. That's not one for the Don's Trust directly. And therefore, we can enhance the playing budget when possible and buy as much as possible. I believe we're one club. That's all across first team, academy, foundation, DLAG, everything. The women's team, we're just one club. Hence my comment about one website as well earlier on. We shouldn't lose focus, however. Our primary aim is to do everything in our power to win football matches, because if we're successful, then people aren't, funnily enough, crying for the board to be sacked, as James alluded to earlier there. From my point of view, from my business career, similar. I chair a growth business. I'm used to the various functions. I'm used to fulfilling the oversight role. I'm I'm particularly used to change management, having run large units within multinational businesses. So therefore, I think my professional experience and my hands-on experience within the club already is of value, and therefore something that I would like to put forward and help more. I think the work that's in progress should be allowed to bed in. I mentioned the theme groups and the working parties. We've talked about the communication. I think the DTB can also be given other tools to improve governance and oversight abilities. I'm strongly in favour of us seeking B Corp status. Some would say that's just a badge of honour, but it actually provides a framework to judge how we're operating on a day-to-day basis in areas such as procurement, but also how we're matching up to our own ideals. So if the Dunn's Trust is in charge of the culture, mission and strategy, well, what are we going to measure things by? To conclude, I'd be honoured if people choose to vote for me, and I'd seek to do everything in my powers to make the vote count. And I'd just work hard to make a difference and move the club forward.
Thank you, Graham Price. And Josh Perrin, the floor is yours to give the final closing statement.
Thank you. I think quite simply, I'm a younger fan who can try and bring some fresh ideas to the board. I have skills from my day job that I believe haven't been on the board before. If they have, now there is so much more data in the world that we can use and we can analyze and we can take answers from, and we can make decisions based on them. So therefore, as Graham alluded to, try and make ourselves successful on the pitch, but that starts from making more money on a match day. That starts from building ourselves as one club. That starts from diversity and inclusion, as James said as well. There's no women standing for the board. There's a lot more that we can look into and try and increase our inclusion. I was going to say something and I've totally forgotten it. But I was going to say as well, Graham, I'm glad you mentioned the B Corp status, because I have a friend who was working on our B Corp status and he really wants us to get it by the end of the season, so that we can play Grimsby and have the first ever football match between two B Corp clubs. So let's try and get that sorted. I'd be pleased if people vote for me as a younger member that people can feel comfortable chatting to, but then also bring a skill set that should enhance what should be an already very capable board.
Okay, thanks, Josh. So I'll just hand back over to Ben in a second to do sort of closing remarks for the hosts. But thanks, guys, for your participation. And Ben, over to you.
Okay, well, that's all the questions and all the closing statements done, which just leaves me to thank James McDonald, Joshua Perrin and Graham Price. Don't forget that all the candidates' manifestos are available at thedonstrust.org/elections/2022-election, and that you can pose questions to the candidates at donstrust.boards.net. So thanks again to all the candidates, and thank you for listening. That's the end of the session. Goodbye.